made of sterner stuff than that. You have gained 6 ranks in skill, reading. You have gained 150 experience plus 3 constitution. You have revoked fast travel rights to members of the guild, the Wanderers.
I am out.
Jo growled into Daisy's shocked face, shoving her out of the way as he walked toward the gates. He left the town, walking directly toward the shrine and the fast travel point that it contained. Chapter 30. Jo was still fuming as he walked into the Mage's College almost an hour later. He stalked down the hallway, making 5 right turns and walking into the contract preparation classroom. Just like the last time Jo had been here, a head poked up above the shelves in the back, and Master Slender smiled and walked over.
"You came back! I thought I'd scared you off."
"Not at all, Master Slender." Jo showed the man a weary grin. "A few things came up, but I hope you won't mind picking up where we left off."
"Not at all. Come in, come in."
Master Slender grabbed a few things from a nearby cabinet and got down to teaching. Jo was an apt student, and soon they were pressing freshly made paper, bottling new ink, and sharpening raven feather quills. By the end of the lesson, Jo was feeling better, had gained 6 ranks in the skills offered by this course, and 1 in his scribe skill. He was even a bit ashamed by how he had handled things with the guild.
"Something on your mind?" Master Slender gently inquired.
"Nothing that I can't talk to the other person about." Jo smiled half-heartedly at the mage. "Well, I'll see you another time." Master Slender nodded.
"I'm sure we will, but you have learned almost everything there is for me to teach you at this level of class. You'll need to register for the advanced course to learn more. Though there is one last thing. I see that you are level 10. Have you learned how to combine skills?"
"I have." Jo opened the menu and waited for instructions. "I'm guessing that we combine these 3 together?"
"Excellent. You know what's going on. Sadly, there is more to it,"
Master Slender told him.
"You also need to learn the skill Magical Material Creation and combine that as well as your scribe skill. Obviously, this is the hardest step because, well, our students have been exclusively nobles for decades and were able to toss the needed funds to initiate the combination right away. Frankly, there is no point in registering for the next level until this task has been completed."
Jo nodded sharply, frustrated with the wait, but understanding the need to have the pertinent skills.
"I can see how that is an issue for most people. How do I go about learning the Magical Material Creation skill?"
"You've been a great student, and you have gotten through the class in record time, so I'll teach you the skill for free if you want to learn it now. I'm not a master of the skill, but I'm passable."
Master Slender didn't wait for an answer, simply pulling over a jar of the ink they had just finished creating.
"We are going to use ink because, for some reason, people tend to be able to imbue liquids with mana much easier than other substances. It is just as easy to do it with anything, but..."
He shook his head to show his disappointment at the general lack of comprehension that others exhibited.
"As I was saying, take the ink and try to suffuse it with mana. Really pack in the power until it starts binding to the ink."
The professor handed over the jar with an expectant expression. Jo took the jar without hesitation and tried to create a sheath of power around the entire thing like he did when upgrading his mana manipulation skill. Once there was practically a shell of power humming around it, he started pumping power into a tiny hole that he had allowed to exist. 50 mana. 100. 250. At 300 mana, the entire bottle was vibrating hard enough to hurt Joe's hands. Master Slender coughed lightly, forcing Jo to divide his attention.
Joe, perhaps I should step in here. There is plenty of mana in there now, far more than is needed. Just hold it in place and allow the mana to merge. I'm not a fan of magical ink flying around and splashing across my books.
Joe closed the hole he had been holding open, and after a few seconds, the material started to glow. First, the ink turned from black to a midnight blue, brightening and seeming to boil. Then, the glass of the container shifted subtly, actually shrinking a bit, but becoming much sturdier. Master Slender nodded in appreciation.
Excellent, excellent. Not many are able to imbue glass. It is notoriously stubborn and takes a huge amount of fine control as well as dense mana. Now, very carefully, open a hole and let any remaining mana leak out. A very small hole, mind you, or this effort will be wasted.
Mana rushed out of the opening Joe provided, hissing like a pressure cooker with a leaky valve. When the flow dropped to a normal level, Joe opened the hole wider and eventually removed the shell of mana entirely. He picked up the bottle, and it slipped out of his hand like a greased egg, its tighter molecular bonds leaving the surface almost frictionless. Joe watched in horror as the glass fell to the stone floor and bounced.
Imbued glass is very hard to break, Slender chuckled as he saw the obvious relief on Joe's face. It is also expensive, and the base version of warded glass, which is one of the hardest man-made materials. That you can imbue glass at your level is impressive in its own right. You could make quite the living providing imbued glass for enchanters.
As fun as making slippery glass is, I'd rather be able to make a final product on my own.
Joe carefully picked up the bottle he had dropped, handing it over to the professor and acknowledging the notification he had waiting for him.
Skill gained. Magical material creation. Novice 9. Having a huge amount of raw mana and no real use for it tends to lead to dangerous experiments. That's how this skill was originally created. Sounds perfect for you. Increase density of mana matrix by 1% per skill level.
This is pretty cool. Is there an actual use for it, though? Beyond the glass you mentioned?
Joe read over the details one last time before opening his menu and selecting to combine all of the skills. 3, 4, 5 skills. Each time he added another, the cost doubled.
Joe looked at the 800 gold this was going to cost him, his finger hovering over the button.
Anything else I should know before combining these?
Tons of uses for the glass, from weapons to armor to architecture.
Slender did a double take and gave Joe a strange look.
You can afford to do this right now? That's, well, frankly, it's unexpected.
Not trying to throw this in your face or anything, but I was given 100 platinum for helping the previous Archmage retire.
Joe felt no need to mention the 100,000 plus gold still in the bank.
Ah, yes, that would do it.
Slender thought a moment.
No, nothing else to note, and with these skills, it doesn't matter in what order you add them in, so go for it.
The order you add them can impact the results? Joe shook off the statement and pressed combine.
Time until skills have combined. 60 hours.
Also, by the look on your face, you saw how long you need to wait for your new ability.
There was a wry smirk on Slender's face.
Just one of those prices that we pay to progress. Yes, the order of combination greatly changes the outcome in many cases. This can lead to new skill formations, titles, and classes. Yes, skill combination is the easiest and most accurate method of gaining rare classes. I'm sure you have unlocked the option to gain a new class when gaining skills, and this is no different.
I see. Now, more than ever, Joe wanted to complete the amazing ritual he had found. His ring felt hot, like the blueprints were trying to call his attention to them. After regaining the skill, magical material creation, he had to pay this time, but was happy to find out that he could indeed relearn lost skills. Joe thanked Master Slender and promised to return soon for the next level of his class. Joe wandered the halls of the Mage's College, trying to figure out why he had reacted so poorly to the manhandling that had led him to quitting the guild. He had been through worse, much worse, during his time in the military. Was it just that he had finally had an incredible taste of freedom for the first time in his adult life? Hierarchy and regimented life was all he had known before coming here. Maybe. Maybe the military-esque way she had handled things had shaken him worse than it should have. There was no question that he had overreacted. It would have been so easy to wait a few minutes, then talk to Aten or... You know? It was probably a bunch of things. The fact that Daisy reminded him of his ex-wife, that she was bullying him and he wasn't in any mood for it, and that he is free in the game and he felt she was threatening that. Beyond the issues with Daisy, he died twice in the last 24 hours, he has to deal with snarky messages from the game, he was told he kept bothering Aten and thought that they were friends when it clearly wasn't true, he didn't need the income the guild provides, heck, he didn't even know how much he was paid for his position. It was probably a bunch of little things that made Joe respond how he did. Perhaps it had something to do with his breaking into the 50s of intelligence and wisdom and having his brain altered. Conversely, perhaps something related to his recently unlocked mental manipulation resistance skill or psychomancer class was causing some outbursts from resisting the system's mental interference. The only thing he knew for sure was that he didn't want to be known as an angsty person who was ruled by his emotions. Daisy had certainly overstepped her authority, and the system had agreed to the point that it recognized her actions as abusive enough to destroy his guild contract. Still, he was also in the wrong. Joe hated being in the wrong, even if he was only partly at fault. All right. Back to the guild. He had some groveling to do. Of course, just because he was feeling a bit bad didn't mean he couldn't drag his feet the whole way. As a matter of fact, he spent an additional day in the city just perusing the shops and wasting time. As much as he wanted to make this right, he also wanted to make them sweat a bit. Gaining reputation with the kingdom was hard to do. When he finally started wandering to the town square, he could almost picture skid marks along the entire path he walked. The air was a bit blue from all the grumbling and cursing he did, and a few passers-by blushed at his language. But he did eventually make it to the square and select the shrine as his destination. Eyelid twitching and fingers cramping, he pressed the accept button and vanished from the city. A man appeared in the spot he had vanished from, looking around and frowning behind the mask he wore. His multi-hued robes swished, and a small notepad appeared in his hand. Quickly, he traced out a message that appeared on all items linked to it. Contact lost once again. Target neither captured nor eliminated. Returning to base for punishment. Chapter 31.
That was a heck of a thing to do to us, Joe.
Aten's voice was obviously being tightly controlled.
I know that your contract wouldn't have destroyed itself if we weren't somehow in the wrong, but if you would have come and talked to me, we would have worked out whatever the issue was.
Getting to you was the issue. Joe explained what had happened, sharing the log of his interaction with Daisy when she denied his words. Aten had an odd look on his face. On one hand, Daisy was a trusted guild officer who had never had a single complaint against her. On the other was proof that not only had she done this, but that she was lying about it.
Daisy, what the heck? Is this why I've never heard anything negative from your people? They are afraid to try talking to me? You've been pretending to be a drill sergeant?
Aten looked at the sweet lady he thought he had known for months.
Of course not.
Daisy was full of righteous anger.
No one else has a problem following the rules.
Neither did the mages in the college, at least not until they were given the chance to be free, Joe sniped at her.
Daisy showed him a rude hand gesture, unintentionally lending credence to Joe's words.
Enough already!
Aten fiddled with his menus.
Daisy, your command powers have been suspended for now. We are going to let all of the people in your section know that you don't have them, and if they have been targeted by you, we will know soon enough. If this was the first incident, we will just move Joe out from under you and be done with it. Otherwise, we will have a longer conversation.
Daisy was ushered out of the command tent, and Aten locked eyes with Joe, a bit of hopefulness showing.
I assume that you coming back to the guild means that you want back in it?
I do, but we are going to need to talk terms. Joe sighed and sat down. He hadn't wanted to be in a submissive position when Daisy was glaring at him. I know that leaving the guild put you in a bad position, and I also know that at some point you won't need my reputation bonuses and travel system. For now, though, I think you do. I also think that fact has been overlooked pretty heavily. I bring a lot to the table, and I'm sorry to say that I think I'm going to have to leverage that now. Somehow, even though I've been nothing but helpful, I have a reputation in the guild that isn't good. Listen, I'm fine with just being a party leader, but from now on, I need autonomy. I'm also going to need to get our deal about this building in writing. We are going to have to get a lot in writing. I am also going to need a list of all the officers, the positions they hold, and where they stand in the hierarchy so I stop stepping on toes. Sorry to say, Aten, I lost a lot of trust after this little episode. Joe finished his lecture on a forlorn note.
I know all of that.
Aten looked sadly at his reputation meter for Joe. It had dropped all the way from ally to barely maintaining neutral in only a few minutes. That was the main reason he believed Joe so easily. You could lie, but the system wouldn't lie for you.
We can do that, and we can put you outside of the normal command structure. You won't have more than your party under your control, but you'll basically have free rein to do your thing.
All right. Let's get to it. They went to the scribe the guild had hired on, and within a few minutes he was able to write out an amended contract. Joe was amazed at the skill the scribe displayed. It was like watching a slightly outdated printer print out a document. Joe's fingers itched to start ranking up his own skills. After quickly reading through the contract, Joe nodded and signed, followed by Aten signing. There was a notification to the guild that they had regained all qualifications to be a noble guild, and Aten sighed with relief, a smile crossing his face for the first time that day.
All right, well, we have an entire guild full of mages on standby waiting to see why they are being fed and relaxing instead of working like I paid them to. I'm sure they don't mind, but they do get paid by the hour, so if we could get moving, I would appreciate it.
I was wondering about that, Joe admitted as he was led to the area his ritual was going to be carried out in. Are they under contract not to talk about the work they are going to be doing here?
Yeah, they also have a great reputation for working hard and getting their work done really fast. From what I've seen, though, they are usually contracted by guilds full of non-magical folk to go and hunt monsters with them. They also have a few alchemists, so when I told them that the job was essentially going to be them throwing spells continuously for an hour or more, well, they've been stockpiling potions for a while, and they brought them all along.
That'll be helpful. Joe looked around with interest as the people around them suddenly became homogeneous. Gone were mismatched armors and leather clothing, swords, and bows. In their place were robes. Sure, the robes had different designs on them, but all of them were the same color. Instead of various weaponry, there were only staves, wands, and orbs. Joe could practically feel the mana humming in the air, and he really started feeling the loss of his own robe to that overgrown bear. Aten walked directly to the only person who had more than two colors on his robe.
Guild Leader Snake, it's always a pleasure to see you. Are you about ready to get going? We will start the initial setup now, and should be ready for you in no time flat.
The guild leader turned toward them with a smile.
Ah, guild commander, ready when you...
His eyes locked onto Joe, widening comically as he clapped his hands.
Joe!
What? Wait, Snake!
T-Snake?
When the man nodded, Joe stepped forward and gave him a hug.
Tim? What the heck, man? You were supposed to meet me as soon as you could. Where have you been? Why is your face twitching like that?
Me? I could say the same to you. I searched all the newbie areas, all the training grounds. No one had seen you. No one.
Twitching?
Oh, yeah. I got an upgrade after my guild got real popular. I'm in a pod now.
Where have you been?
Tim seemed confused and happy at the same time, and since guys aren't fans of feeling mixed emotions, Joe hurried to explain.
I'm a cleric, a healer. Got picked up right away when a certain guild noticed that I could rub some dirt in their wounds and it would actually fix them up.
Joe grinned as he stole Tim's old catchphrase.
Also, you couldn't find me? I'm in one of the most well-known guilds, and my name keeps popping up in server-wide announcements.
Not sure what you mean by the announcements, but I didn't think you were so unimaginative that you'd use your own boring name.
Ugh.
And yeah, the game decided that I was more suited to hurting than healing for some reason.
Tim barely got that out before Joe turned it around on him.
Oh, what a shock. The infamous infected blisterfoot epidemic of...
Joe's laughter was cut off by Aten coughing heavily and extra loudly.
So I take it you two know each other... And I do hate to do this, but you guys are paid by the hour, so...
Aten trailed off as Snake waved his hand back and
forth. 20% discount today only. Not on the use of potions, but on labor. I've been looking for this guy since he started the game.
Tim, Snake, threw an arm around Joe's shoulders and chuckled. Aten was entirely uncertain what to say as Joe and Tim started catching up. When Joe explained that it had been him who killed the Archmage and proved it with his title, Snake's jaw dropped and he made an announcement to his guild on the spot. Cheers broke out and so many people clapped Joe on the back or shook his hand vigorously that he needed to subtly heal himself after a short while. Eventually, they stopped reminiscing and got down to business. When Joe explained what they were about to build, Tim went pale and got shaky.
You are going to use us to build an artifact building. This thing helps to plot out rank ups and skill lines? Aten, we should work on your bargaining skills. I'll drop our price by 50% right now if you agree to let us use this place too. Give us a 50% discount on using it, and we will call all debt paid, potions included.
That is a lot of money over time, and to be fair, Joe here is the building owner.
Aten grinned, knowing that he was about to save his guild a couple thousand gold.
Why don't we say...
Look, man, 50% off right now, or we will just use this money to put a few people through and have them write down what they know instead of sending a bunch of people through it.
Tim's grin widened at the pout on Aten's face.
Deal?
Yeah, yeah, deal.
Aten heaved a disgruntled sigh after he looked at Joe for confirmation and got a nod in reply.
You know where we want it? Good. Our mages are on their way over to help as well. Let me know if you need anything. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing something amazing soon.
Snake waited until Aten was an appropriate distance away before asking the question he had been waiting to ask.
Still want to be in this guild? With what I know about you and your obvious skills, you would start in my guild as one of the top brass.
Thanks, but I'm doing well here.
even if we have our rocky moments. Joe patted Tim on the arm and reminded him to focus. They got to work, first ordering the gathered mages, not by level, but by total mana pool and mana manipulation skill. Those with lower amounts of mana were to be positioned further away, but in general, all of them had substantial amounts of raw power. Unsurprising for a guild of mages where power equaled rank.
Glad that's over.
You have the highest amount of mana in your guild, correct? Joe questioned Tim offhandedly. When he nodded, Joe took a deep breath and activated the setup function of his blueprints. Massive, illusionary circles appeared on the ground, causing a few screams to ring out from quickly embarrassed people.
Good. We need the person with the next highest pool over here with us. Then we need to start getting into position. Here is how this is going to work. We need to have prime numbers on each layer, but it skips a few each time. There will be us three, then the next layer on the same circle will have 5, then 7. The next circle has to have 11, 13, and then 17. In total, we need 195 people to fill all the spots. Do we have that?
We have 113, including the mages from your guild. Remember, until recently, being a mage was a very expensive process. Most of my people unlocked the class at the start of the game during character setup.
Tim pretended to be disparaging, but Joe knew he was just trying to catch Terra's attention. He had been ever since she arrived.
All right. Well, the smallest mana pool we have here is about 400. Average is around 500, though, right? Joe waited for confirmation before continuing. That'll only give us about a third of what we need in total. What can we do about potions, and we should...
Continuing the discussion, they eventually unloaded all supplies and passed out the goods to where they were most needed. It was a huge undertaking just to get people to stand where they needed to, and Joe was once again pleased that he wasn't going to be in charge of other people for long. His head was throbbing as he worked to convince yet another party leader that all they needed to do was stand here, in this spot, and not move. No, he didn't care that none of them had mana. They were only here to fulfill a requirement. Yes, this was important. Yes, they had to stay right here and not move. The furthest spell circle had a radius of 50 feet, so there was plenty of space for all of the people to stand. Joe got into position and yelled as loud as he could so that the others could hear him.
Okay, we are just about ready to go. If you haven't yet added your blood to a chalice, don't worry, it's coming around. Let's see. Oh, if you are on the outer ring, please make sure that you stay conscious as long as possible. Things are about to get weird. You just need to accept that fact now. We should all survive this, so don't panic.
After getting confirmation that everyone had added their blood to the silver chalice, Joe glanced at the sloshing silver bucket that they were using instead of a fancy cup. He nodded and spoke up again.
Here we go, everyone. Sections 1 through 6, please remember your roles. Everyone, please remember that if you stay where you are supposed to be, you will be fine. If you run away or leave your spot, only you will explode like a kernel of popcorn. Everyone else will be fine. Do not leave your assigned spot. Get ready.
Joe opened his menus and selected to use his Divine Boon. Choosing to activate the next ritual without component cost, he felt a wash of golden power seemingly well up inside himself. He took a deep breath, and as he released it, he allowed his mana to flow into the master-ranked blueprints in front of him. A deep chime rang through the area like a bell being struck, and golden power flowed from him and coated each portion of the ritual where a component of some sort was supposed to rest. Ignoring the fact that they were supposed to be illusions, the circles they were all standing in began to move, carrying each person like they were on a conveyor belt. Most people were able to handle this without flinching. But then the flat lines started to change, orbiting Joe and the two others at the center of the ritual. Tim, Terra, and Joe reached out a hand each, their fingers almost touching as they made a triangle centered over the diagram. As one, they began to feed mana into the ritual. A disk of invisible power appeared under their position and began to lift them. Soon, they were 10 feet off the ground. 20. 55. Remaining stable at that height, they couldn't help but watch as the people in the outer circles whizzed around them. 2 breaths later, they read the first line of the ritual's activation sequence. Hoc est ad nocere. The three of them grimaced as a seemingly uncontrolled burst of power flowed out of them and into the blueprints. The trio at the center were pushed 12 feet apart as a series of reddish-gold circles of energy surrounded the document and a column of seemingly uncontrolled power began to rush down into the ground. Lines of mana seeped out of the paper, looking and acting like mist until they reached the disk under their feet. There, the mist resolved itself into thousands of tiny strings, going taut and connecting to the bodies of the three people and the diagram. More power raced from them, and the mist billowed out once more. Soon, lines of power connected everyone in the first circle.
"This isn't too bad. Kind of like a freaky roller coaster,"
Joe heard a female voice comment in the distance. He knew better, but didn't want to scare anyone unnecessarily. The ritual was still unfolding. It was still getting ready, and any mana invested so far didn't count toward the total they needed. Telling the butterflies in his stomach to calm down, Joe took a deep, calming breath. He hoped he didn't get sick. Chapter 32. A trickle of vomit sprayed from the second circle, and a few people loudly complained as the spinning orbit brought them directly into the shower of bile.
"I get motion sick. How was I supposed to know?"
Their words drifted away as all the circles continued to rotate and twirl.
"We are about to begin. Remember not to drink your potions until you see the group in front of you sink to their knees. You will be feeling drained, but we need to do this right."
Joe shouted this information as loud as he could, hoping that the practice runs they had done would be remembered.
3, 2, 1.
Contrary to the countdown, it would be almost a full minute before most people even noticed a change. For the three at the center, the party was already in full swing. They would all be drained at the same rate, approaching zero together. Unfortunately for Joe, he had about 1/3 more mana than the others. To him, this meant that the ritual drew from him longer than the others. When two of them had equal mana, it drew from the next, followed by the third. Soon, they were all grimacing, working hard to keep the power flow regulated. Any fluctuations drew power from the others faster as well, so a smooth flow was required. Unlike all the other rituals Joe had made, this one didn't seem to activate the ritual circles from the outermost edge, working inwards as the outer circles activated. No. It seemed that the tiny lines of power connecting them to the ritual did something to direct the power. The once white lines were filling with blue mana. As power trickled outward, the color and shape of the entire circle gradually changed as well. Most concerning was that the ritual didn't wait for the three at the center to be fully drained before beginning to pull power from the next layer. There was a collective oof as the mana draw began with an almost physical blow to the second layer. The 5 people there were almost as mana-rich as the first layer, though, and easily controlled themselves and their power. Lines of light left their layer, connecting with the golden divine power that was going to be acting as their components. It didn't do anything just yet, but they were connected. The entire time, Joe kept up a chant, and the other two at the center echoed him a moment later.
"Ducatur fortior."
Joe tried to modulate his voice. No need to shout and ruin the pronunciation.
"Ducatur
fortior."
Both Tara and Tim stated together. Tara seemed a bit more focused on the issue at hand, whereas Tim just seemed happy that his whole job basically amounted to touching a pretty lady's hand and speaking in what sounded like Latin. Joe continued to chant, reading directly from the words that constantly appeared on the blueprints. Even as his mana waned and exhaustion from that depletion set in, he continued to read aloud. There must have been some sort of system help with the pronunciation of these words, because they left his mouth with confidence and exacting perfection. The three at the center slowly sank to their knees, the only signal they could use to show that the mana draw was going to fall on someone else now. They almost gasped in relief as the burden fell from them and their natural regeneration went toward refilling their mana pools instead of empowering the ritual. They kept chanting, even as power began to crackle along the lines connecting all of them. As the final layer of people on their circle began to be pulled from, much larger versions of the small lines connecting them to their circle began to grow. These cables twined away, connecting to dots of mana floating in the air. A gem-like mana structure formed around the entirety of the first circle, seemingly solid, but still mainly translucent. Gaseous mana began to roll off of this structure, flowing outward until reaching the boundaries of the second circle where it stopped and began to spread out. The circle seemed to act as a containment device, and it appeared that a portion of the mana being generated by the first layer of the second circle was being used to maintain that barrier. It should be noted that even though the layers were being activated quickly, this didn't mean there was less mana being pulled from them, or that they were collectively weak. In fact, there were 11 people on that layer alone, meaning that a low estimate placed them at contributing over 5,000 points of mana on this pass alone.
Progressing smoothly. Good, Joe thought to himself as he continued working. Now he needed to add in hand gestures and slow movements, and the others carefully mimicked him. The third and fourth circles had activated, and Joe once again wondered how a master-ranked ritual had only four circles. The layers. If looked at another way, they were obviously different, more complex and grand than any other ritual circle he had ever seen before.
Mwahaha!
He was positive that if nothing else, this would boost his ritual lore skill.
There was a slight hiccup as the final layer activated, though it was expected. As soon as the draw of mana began, all of the people were forced to their knees, screaming in pain, some of them fainting instantly. No access to mana meant no mana channels, no practice keeping their power under control. No open mana channels meant, well, intense pain until blackout, so he had expected this. Joe winced in sympathy pain for them. The three placed at the center quickly drank their first potion, jumping from about 20% recovered to 70 in an instant, then a boosted regeneration adding on more per second. Mana poured off of Joe, once again taking from him exclusively for a few long seconds before adding in the others. If he hadn't been used to huge surges of power like this, he would have fallen unconscious at the minimum. The ritual had dipped down a tiny bit, and the entire thing was now rocking back and forth as though it were on a pendulum. The outermost circle seemed to create massive scoops and tore into the earth. That circle currently looked like a bladed Ferris wheel and was tossing tons of dirt and stone out of the ground. It was digging a foundation, perhaps? When the massive plot of land had been cleared, the blades of the wheel became colossal flat hammers and pounded the terrain to create a solid base. As the second round of Joe's mana expenditure came to an end, he watched as golden power dripped from the accumulated divine energy. Two shining drops landed on the ground and spread across hundreds of feet like oil in a pan, covering the bare rock and rising to fill the entire space. A streak of black appeared in the gold, and the energy changed. At the speed of a bubble bursting, the foundation had been converted into black marble with beautiful streaks of white running through it in an obviously planned design. There were ragged cheers coming from the outer layers that were not currently under a mana burden, but those died down quickly. After the initial laying of stone, golden drops fell as regularly as a leaky faucet. Each time they did, a new portion of the building was formed. At first, it appeared that this building would be a pyramid, and there was quite a bit of confusion when that entire structure collapsed into itself and became level with the ground. Pillars appeared. Would this become an open-air structure like the Temple of Artemis? A castle? Was that a computer? A 20-foot gyroscope? All of it vanished, sinking into the black marble. Only Joe knew that these structures still existed, simply waiting for a ritualist to call upon them for use. Just before the third round of mana draining began, the master ritual started to rise. The outer ring began to drip golden power as it spun, and a structure began to form. Narrow at the base and widening, it wasn't until the structure began to come together that it was recognized as a huge sphere. No, wait. It was a... Just before the structure would have finished and closed the hole, the floating ritual dropped through the opening. A few shouts of shock rang out, but the ritual continued unabated. The third ring began to shine, and beams of light, consisting of mana and divine power, began to create strange objects and fanciful shapes like an industrial-sized three-dimensional printer. A floor appeared over these connected objects, and the expansive area began to form into a funnel. After the funnel had formed, a huge affair that looked like a stone tornado, the second circle began to cut shapes into it. The patterns and spell diagrams on the fourth circle of the ritual were pulled away from it, leaving a simple and empty round platform for the participant to remain standing on. The second layer of the building had incorporated these designs and magical symbols into the funnel, adding an air of mystery to it. A similar thing happened to the patterns on the third circle, and then a translucent floor appeared over all of it. Looking through the floor allowed you to see deeply into what appeared to be a portal into a black hole. Sunbursts, specks of light, and raw mana were visible below, adding an allure and mysterious feel to the place. Small rooms with spell circles in them began to be created, the circles raised or etched onto the floor. The entirety of the outer wall and ceiling became a single mirror, curved and reflecting all the light in the area. A single pillar began to form using the remaining ritual diagram of the second circle. The pillar twisted and lifted, heading toward the opening still remaining in the roof over 100 feet above them. Power rolled off the ritual, the draw of mana coming in spurts from anyone who was able to produce it. Joe was sweating a disturbing amount. They were almost done, but more and more people in the outer circles were falling unconscious. As they approached the ceiling, the fourth circle became horizontal and lifted up. It plastered itself to the roof and began rotating, leaving small platforms behind for the people that had been on it. Those people were slowly pulled to the ground, being gently deposited. Not one of them was awake to see it. The third ring followed suit, but it seemed to sink into the ceiling partly, somehow visible behind the mirrored surface. The second circle stopped just as they passed through the opening, leaving a rotating circle for the tower growing behind them to thread. As that group of people was deposited back onto the ground, the barrier that had been keeping the mana generated from the first circle in check began to fail. Joe and the others that were in the first circle were straining to generate more power, and they drank their last potions. It wasn't as effective as the others before it. After 3 potions in too short of a time, the ones following simply don't have as much of an impact. In fact, it was only a quarter as potent as the first had been. It was enough. The tower formed around them, surrounding the gem-like structure that had appeared. Mana that had nearly escaped was sucked in and repurposed. At this point, the first circle fell off, and all but the main 3 were pulled to the ground by an invisible force. Joe, Tara, and Tim were gasping for air as the intense pressure of the mana in the air around them squeezed. The accumulated power began to collect into a spot directly above them, sucking in all of the thousands of points of mana that had been in there only moments previously. Shining brilliantly, the chaotic ball of pure mana seemed to contain an ocean of power and generated a breeze that pushed the air away in a constant motion. Windows formed around them. Single piece, perfectly clear crystals. Only a drop of golden power remained, and it zipped upward and sank into the center of the ball of mana. For a bare instant, it seemed that the mana had grown a layer of diamond around itself. Then the world went white. Chapter 33. You have created a grand ritual hall, Pathfinder's Hall. This building provides a service needed by all. It allows for storage and access to the skills, titles, and experience needed to specialize into a class or gain a class. As a ritualist, you are able to access a portion of the building that none other may, the ritual room. This room is fully configurable, allowing for nearly any shape, size, or complexity of ritual. Shifting this room consumes mana from the structure. Many rituals are three-dimensional and require significant effort without access to an area such as this. This building is a shining beacon of knowledge in the darkness of ignorance and greed. All skill training in the area of effect of shining enlightenment is twice as efficient. More effects will make themselves known as the building gains mana and class information. Structural integrity. 2,500,000 out of 2,500,000. Mana supply. 100 out of 1,000,000. You have created an artifact structure. Congratulations. This is a feat that many will never complete. As the leader of the ritual that completed this structure, a new specialization has been unlocked for you. It will be denoted in your specialization menu with asterisk around it. Achievement unlocked. Create an artifact rarity structure, plus 5,000 experience for each participant. You, specifically, have gained a new title, Architect of Artifacts. Architect of Artifacts. Any action you take that will result in the construction of a new structure will boost the building's overall statistics and potential boosts by 10%. Plus 5 points to each characteristic stat permanently, excluding karmic luck. You are the owner of an artifact structure. You have the right to admit, deny any entry, set fees for usage, restrict any of the knowledge contained within the building, and deny any of the benefits it provides. Caution. There are some who will not take being denied entry gracefully. Your building can be attacked and broken into, though it will defend itself depending on mana levels. Skill increased. Ritual lore. Apprentice 1. You have delved deeper into the secrets of rituals than anyone in an age. This requires both intelligence and luck with just a dash of blood loss. Plus 1 intelligence, luck, and constitution.
I can't see, Joe called out in the otherwise fairly quiet room. It's so bright in here.
Ow! You stepped on my hand,
Tara called from somewhere below him.
Am I blind? Why does it hurt to have my eyes open?
Tim called into the echoing area.
It's like I'm staring at an arc welder no matter where I look.
Ow! That is it. Both of you get on the ground. If I get kicked or stepped on one more time, I'm going to start throwing fire around.
Tara promised the two of them.
Joe, how do we get out of here?
There should be a...
Joe thought through the blueprints that had etched themselves into his mind.
Trapdoor. It should be to the right of where we landed. Check along the wall and see if you can find the handle. It opens by spinning it, not by lifting or lowering it.
If they could have seen themselves crawling across the floor, scrabbling for any change in the perfectly flat floor, they would have been laughing. As it was, they were getting a bit frustrated. Tara was the first to find a seam in the otherwise flawless floor, and soon after that, she had found the handle. The others had to crawl toward her voice, hoping that she didn't fall through and leave them lost again. There was a smooth whirr, and they felt an area open up.
There is a ladder. Try and find that, otherwise it's only about 7 feet down.
After saying this, he pulled himself into the opening and fell the distance.
His jumping skill allowed him to land correctly, but he was still having a hard time seeing anything. He healed himself just to make sure he wasn't blind, and waited for the others to come down the ladder. Not able to direct them for obvious reasons, he wasn't able to tell Terra that her foot was in the wrong spot.
Oof!
Air exploded from Tim's mouth as Terra crashed down on him, taking him to the ground, but saving her from an awkward fall. As they got up, Terra began to apologize, but Tim stopped her with an easy,
"If you really want to make it up to me, let me take you out to dinner the next time you are in Ardania."
All right. But you should know that I'm a vegetarian.
Terra was grinning at Tim, even though she couldn't see the crestfallen look on his face.
"Of course she is," Joe chuckled quietly.
The next part was said a bit louder.
"And she goes jogging in the morning, Tim."
"I'm willing to look past that,"
Tim proclaimed grandly, snickering at Joe and the silent fury he could feel building from Terra.
"If she will look past our terrible humor and pick which restaurant to go to, I have no idea which of them have good vegetarian meals."
Joe moved over to the base of the ladder and spun a small wheel. The light from above rapidly vanished, but Joe left the door open a smidgen. It was more than enough to see by, but it still took a minute for all the spots in their vision to vanish.
"Did you know that as the owner and creator of this building, I can open or shut almost anything in the entire structure with a mental command? This is the only door, trapdoor, or hidden wall I can't. No idea why. There's no lock on it. The trapdoor just needs to be opened and shut by hand."
"Which way is out?"
Terra inquired, looking at the circular room they were in.
"Down."
Joe pointed at the spiral staircase hidden from her view as she spoke. "No elevator, and of course, we are at the very top." They started going down the stairs, showing that the pillar they were in actually consisted of two pillars, an outer one and an inner pillar which the stairs wrapped around. 10 minutes of descending later, they came to a door.
"Here we go. You guys want to make a grand entrance?"
"Sure,"
Tim answered with uncertainty. Joe grinned and closed his eyes. The inner pillar began to glow, and it appeared that the entire thing was glass, or something very close. Light shone down from above into it, illuminating the entire thing. It kept getting brighter and brighter, so Joe motioned for them to open the door and get out. The door swung open into a silent room where almost 200 people were focused on the suddenly bright-lit area of the building. The entire structure had been almost fully dark, and people had been worried about finding their way out. Joe stepped forward and cleared his throat before proclaiming,
"Everyone! We did it!"
Cheers broke out among the crowd, some confused as they were still groggy from being unconscious, and a bunch of people rushed forward to chat with the various silhouetted figures. Joe commanded the door behind them to shut and lock, and it vanished seamlessly into the stone. He glanced at the pillar behind himself, pleased to note that the light from the inner glass was only blazing out of mystical symbols and lines, and near the ceiling were swirling ritual circles that now also allowed light through.
"Just cool. It looked so magical."
Joe set the buff of the building to anyone for now and laughed aloud as a wave of silence followed. After reading the notification, people ran off to train instead of partying. An odd but understandable shift. He looked over at his companions and nodded, then let them know that there were a few things he needed to check on. He walked off with a wave, heading to the area that currently only he could access, the ritual hall. He wanted no interruptions. It was time to specialize. A small section of the floor lifted as he approached it, revealing a hidden ramp leading downward, and once again, he thought about how cool this building was proving to be. Joe walked down the tunnel which spiraled a few times before ending. He would have been confused as to his location, but the blueprints ingrained in his mind let him know exactly where he was at all times. Walking into a huge and empty room, he gave a mental command, and the entire thing shifted. Now he was on top of a pyramid, sitting on a throne. Grandiose? Yes. Needed? Not really. It was a big moment, though. Joe settled in and opened his specialization tab with an expression burning with excitement.
Congratulations. You have met the requirements to further advance your class or choose to walk another path that you feel suits you better. You do not need to specialize now, but know that each level you gain could have had the bonuses of your specialization applied.
After reading that, Joe realized why Tatum had set his level ahead by one. He cursed softly. He could have gained something. Some kind of bonus. He needed to see what he gave up. He read on.
Here are the higher classes you have attained the requirements for. Some simple details are provided. Click on them for more explanation. Abyssal Mage. Powerful elemental darkness magic. Dark creature summoning. Arch Cleric. +++. An enhanced, more powerful version of the Arch Cleric class. All bonuses and abilities increased by a large amount. Coven Ritualist. Large-scale magics become more powerful. Dark Ritualist. More effective anti-personnel rituals. Eldritch Ritualist. Access to otherworldly, twisted rituals designed to warp the mind and use the lives of others to empower rituals. Enchanting Ritualist. Greater effectiveness of enchantments and buffs placed on an individual or item. Micro Ritualist. Small singular effects are vastly improved. Overhealer. Able to heal allies or damage enemies with healing power. Psychomaster. Change the minds of others. By force. Research Ritualist. Creation of rituals and ritual effects is easier. Asterisk Rituarchitect. Asterisk. Create powerful structures for boosts and defense. Shift places of power. Scripture Ritualist. Single-use simple rituals on paper are 90% faster to create and activate. War Ritualist. Large-scale attack rituals are easier to learn, create, and use. Witch Hunter. Extra damage against mages. Bonus mana burn. Magic resistance.
Nice lineup here, Joe muttered appreciatively. Betcha money that half of them only appeared because my titles are better than their own requirements. Fairly certain I know what I'm getting, but I want more information on... You and this one.
Joe opened a few for more information, and while reading them, tried hard to gauge their rarity. It took a minute of staring greedily, but one by one, the information appeared. Eldritch Ritualist. Unique. This class grants you access to twisted rituals designed to warp the mind and use the lives of others to empower rituals. Focusing on the sacrifice of creatures ranging from pigeons to dragons, the path of the Eldritch is a brutal shortcut to power. All are excited to see the Eldritch work for them, and all fear the inevitable corruption it leads to. Automatically grants the ritual, overturn graveyard, and the knowledge of how to properly sacrifice any type of creature. Per 2 class levels, +4 wisdom, +2 intelligence. Asterisk, ritual architect, asterisk, artificially artifact. Mana is the source of all rituals in this realm, and you have found a way to use mana to create permanent effects. Not only are you able to create powerful structures for boosts and defense by taking this class, you automatically learn a ritual to scan any structure and create a blueprint ritual to help you make your own version. The creation of these buildings can shift places of power, creating wellsprings of mana over time. Per 2 class levels, +3 wisdom, +2 perception, +3 intelligence, +2 dexterity, artificially artifact bonus. War Ritualist. Artifact. Standing behind your army and working large-scale magics is the trademark of the War Ritualist. Whether you are enhancing all of your allies or dropping meteorites on your foe, you instantly become the single greatest contributor to any war effort.
automatically grants the rituals Boost All and Low Orbit Drop. Per 2 class levels, plus 4 wisdom, plus 2 perception, plus 4 intelligence, plus 2 constitution. These were amazing. In terms of pure